I got 1 million views.
Celebrating over 1 million views. eradiosa.com.
And it's just after 3 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon, the final Thursday for the month of August, which is just unbelievable. And it's so good to be back with Tech Thursday. Last week we listened to the best of Tech Thursday, and this week we're back. But Kane is coming to us from a distance due to COVID-19 protocols. Kane, hello.
Hey, Ian, thanks for having me. Oh, I'm back. It's good to be back. I missed last week. I felt like something was missing in my week.
Yeah, I also missed it, man. I actually needed a bit of laughter. But anyway, here we are. I'm so glad it's back. But how are you doing otherwise? You good? All happy, healthy?
Yes, absolutely. Happy, healthy, doing well, you know. Tech's exploding at the moment, actually, despite COVID-19. I mean, we're always making advancements in the tech industry, whether it's financial, you know, automotive, phone and tablets, laptops. No, it's actually crazy. I was reading a thing the other day, and it was like 11 years ago, Mr. Beast had zero subscribers. PewDiePie didn't exist. And Bitcoin was less than a cent.
Wow, listen, that's incredible. Yeah, I mean, technology is not stopping for anything, never mind a virus. In fact, it's just kind of helping it to grow even more.
Absolutely. I mean, as you would expect, you know, it's a challenge that we have to overcome, and as with every failure or every challenge, you get stronger. So
exactly.
That's the benefit, really. So, do you want to hear what we have for this week?
Yes. I was going to ask you now. Mm.
All right. So, here's a few things. That's actually quite a few little things today. Nigerian horror story for MultiChoice ordered to pay $33 billion. It's a tax man demand.
Oh, I saw
that. They've obviously done something terribly wrong.
Oof, that's a lot of money.
Then we have Elon Musk's Tesla bot. Which was released, but was actually a joke. So we'll get into that and see what actually that has in store. But that did some rounds on news and things like that. I'm sure some of us have all come across it.
Mm.
Then we have Instagram's improved search could help close the gap with TikTok. I mean, in my opinion, TikTok search is the worst, you know, tool I've ever used, but apparently Instagram's trying to step up and make a better search engine, and we'll go over some of the things that they look at that might even help some Instagrammers and creators make sure that their content comes to the top of Instagram.
Oh, that sounds good.
Do you remember Pokemon Go?
Yes, I know a few people who were really going the distance to play that game.
Well, speaking of distance, over the course of the COVID-19 pandemic, they made some changes to their in-game, you know, their in-game kind of rules and things like that in terms of how far you can access certain, you know, real-world landmarks and things like that. And they've been changing it and adjusting it. And it's quite interesting. Now you can access these landmarks from up to 80 meters away. I wonder how many people they thought were going to be crowded in one area. I thought Pokemon Go was dead. I didn't know it was still so popular, to be honest.
Exactly, same year.
Then we have the next $1 million NFT. We spoke about the World Wide Web being sold as an NFT, at least the initial source code of it. We spoke about Coca-Cola going into NFTs, Rolex is going into NFTs, but the ultimate question is, what is the next $1 million NFT? We're going to take a look at that and what actually, you know, makes an NFT so popular and why people enjoy it. You know, why buy something for $1 million that's just like a digital photo, right? So we're going to look at that. We're also going to look at the government, our SA government, who wants to build a high-speed railway between Joburg, Pretoria, and Durban to combat some of the challenges they're facing with international, like, cargo ships and things not wanting to dock near South Africa because of all the looting and things like that.
Yeah.
And speaking of looting, Samsung has disabled their stolen TVs, so anyone who tries to access their TV is going to get disappointed.
Yeah, so now it's really going to show you burgers all day.
Like, I wonder what it will say. I mean, can you just watch the like a fixed static screen that's saying this TV is stolen? You know, I imagine you sit down at your couch with family and friends, and your TV comes on. This TV is stolen. I mean, can you imagine?
Oh my word! Yes, oh, that's hilarious. But yeah, it serves them right. Serves them right.
It does. It does. I mean, you took advantage. You caused some economic instability. I mean, now you're gonna have to deal with it.
Enjoy
TV
your
that you
bloody
can't even
TVs.
Spell. Then a new space company is launching in South Africa. Can you believe it? How cool is that?
That's pretty cool, man.
We're going to find out exactly what that means. And in light of the COVID-19 pandemic, Checkers is trying out a new cashless, queueless store kind of purchase method. I mean, can you imagine not having to interact with someone in order to purchase your own goods? Or even having to sit there at a teller where there's no manual teller and you have to kind of ring your items up. I mean, you could get out of there without ringing those items up. Okay, I'll keep the Coke for myself.
I think they'll probably have a cam and then some kind of security watching it. But, you know, I feel sorry for those who lost their jobs because of that, you know. I saw, was it this week or last week, that South Africa is now one of the countries with the highest unemployment rate. So, I mean, that's probably not helping the situation.
No, and I also saw another post the other day in terms of, you know, the most dangerous countries for women. And I was so surprised when I saw South Africa at number one.
Oh, my word.
Number one.
Ladies.
You know, in terms of walking on the street alone and stuff like that. I mean, that needs some attention immediately.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And for the first time in the world, as a world first, South Africa grants a patent to an artificial intelligence system. That's a new world first that we'll be taking a look at.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. So what a lineup today, mister. What a lineup today.
Yeah, we've got a lot.
I see SARS is going after the crypto platforms in South Africa. Did you see that story?
Yes, and that is probably due to the fact, I don't know, we spoke about it briefly, I think it was AfriCrypt, was an organization that launched in South Africa where a 19-year-old and a 21-year-old took off with billions of rands worth of Bitcoin and kind of basically just disappeared off the face of the earth, trying to run away to the EU. And I was having a conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and I said to him, I'm like, you really don't want to be that 19 and 21-year-old. I mean, you don't even have enough experience under your belt to know how to properly disappear. Oof. I mean, and you got investors that are angry. You know, you've stolen millions. Oof. I mean, it's no joke. They're looking for them. Yeah. So obviously with it comes regulation. It's a part of the process to healing and making sure things like that don't happen. And the real difference is in terms of regulation is you can rest assured in the companies you're dealing with, because they're only allowed to operate in South Africa by ticking off certain boxes. But the nature of cryptocurrency is decentralized. So you can also expect entities such as SARS trying to capitalize on the potential profit of this industry, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do about it, really, other than, you know, I even know a few people that have made a lot of money in Bitcoin and things like that, and they recently cashed out just to pay you know, SARS for an amount of what they've earned, you know.
Sure.
Just to keep themselves in the good book. So
yeah.
I mean, realistically, if you've made 100 million or whatever, might as well actually do your due diligence and just pay.
Yeah.
And make sure you're on the right side of the book, because if you're on the wrong side, I don't know if they can get your crypto, but they sure as hell can make your life difficult.
Yeah, and that money's no good when you're sitting in jail.
No. The best thing that you can buy in jail is maybe some cigarettes or a Nachi.
With your crypto. Oh, my word. That's hilarious. Listen, I also wanted to ask you, I don't know if you saw, I know you don't watch that much TV, Kane, but did you see that new Samsung foldable Galaxy Z smartphone? It's currently advertised a lot on the channels on DSTV. And one of the it actually features the song by Imagine Dragons called Believer, but it's a foldable phone. I think the phone it folds like a piece of paper, basically. Would you ever get a foldable phone like that? It's kind of weird.
My biggest stumbling block in terms of a foldable phone is, like, what is the quality of the screen? I mean, the screen is everything, right? So to make a foldable phone, the screen has to be somewhat flexible. And I don't know if you've ever gone to like an Indian or like a Pakistani store in order to fix your phone. You usually come back with a plastic screen and it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's a horrible experience. So if that's the case, I wouldn't opt for it. But in terms of having a phone which is half the height and nice and small, can fit into the palm of your hand, I'd take that. I mean, it fits into your pocket better. I have PTSD of sitting down and my phone flying out of my pocket, reaching for the stars, you know?
Yeah. Yo.
It's a big problem. Also, you know, you had the problem with the bending phones a while ago, a few years ago, people sitting on their large phone in their back pocket and it just kind of breaking. At least this one comes pre-bent.
But I remember those flip phones. Eventually the mechanism, you know, that flips the phone open kind of gets loose, and then one day the one piece of it just snapped and then my phone couldn't close anymore, and then I had flip phone and I had to walk around.
You need to break it off so you get two phones with the price of one.
No, but it was terrible. So now the phone couldn't close anymore, and that was just a real mess up, eh?
So it went from a flip phone to just a phone.
Yeah, so now you've got this loose top part hanging by a little thread, a little wire that keeps the screen on. That's not cool. But anyway, I'm just wondering, with these foldable phones, you know, it's really flimsy, and where do all the wires go, and how do they actually do that, you know? And what if you folded one too many times, you know? What if you fold it and then won't unfold again, or just stays folded? I don't know.
I would think it's quite weird, you know, answering a folded phone. Like, if you don't have to flip it up to answer it, it's going to feel whack.
Well, let me just unfold my phone quickly. Sorry, I couldn't answer it quickly. My phone was all folded.
But it was all part of the experience back in the Motorola days. You know, your phone's ringing and you just flick your wrist and it goes, wah! And then your phone's answered and you're answered and you're done. You flip it back down.
Yeah. And when you're angry, you flip it extra hard and then it just falls apart anyway. But anyway.
Too funny. So let's jump into something here. So Instagram's improved search could help close the gap with TikTok. Now, the very interesting thing about TikTok is that I can say from experience is once you watch a video, if you don't save it or download it or send it to your best friend or copy the link and put it on some notes, you will never find that video again. It is gone. It is evaporated into the atmosphere. It is buried within the TikTok database. I mean, I found this really cool video of a person who was using a remote control helicopter, and he did some crazy stunts with it. And I was like, yo, let me just show my friend this video. And I spent half an hour trying to find it. And I said, that's just ridiculous. You know, I can't find this thing anywhere. But Instagram is trying to improve their search to try and close the gap. I thought Instagram search was a bit better just because TikTok's was terrible. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to create a search algorithm that basically encompasses posts, accounts, pages, videos, all in one place, so that the user experience is very easy to find certain keywords and things like that, and certain topics and all that sort of aspects. And the thing that they look at when you search is going to be like your activity history, you know, the channels that you follow, things that you've previously liked. So that will all play a part in the results that you find. And those results that are coming up, there's going to be a preference towards accounts with higher followers, much as you would expect. But I actually watched a video by one of the lead developers of Instagram who gave some more information as to how their search tool actually searches. And one very interesting thing that I found is they obviously cater to, like, it's a type of shadow ban or a limited visibility kind of indexing, whereby if you have been caught for sharing misinformation, such as COVID misinformation, which is speculation, to be quite honest, no one really has all the right results, and all that sort of stuff, then your account could be shadow banned or at least restricted from search and search results unless they search exactly for the caption that you used in your video. But one thing that I did take from that I found very interesting is a tip for people who are posting on Instagram to maximize being found and being discovered. And it all comes down to your caption. Every single caption that you post tells Instagram sort of what your account is about. you know, and you never really put a lot of thought into the caption of your image. You're usually trying to speak directly to individuals or at least represent something comedic about your photo, but no one really takes the time to truly detail what is within the photo and what is the topics, and using the same keywords across all of your captions. If you're someone like a car page, you know, you're managing a page full of cool cars and things like that, or maybe you're selling products online, you're a pen distributor, you have all sorts of different pens. It becomes very important to be able to actually curate those captions. But I am interested to see what happens and how good search can truly be. I mean, they're competing with what is the worst search I've ever seen on any app, which is TikTok's search algorithm.
Yeah.
But that is the update from Instagram. I mean, let's keep an eye on that. Let's see what happens.
And then what is this thing that's happening there with multi-choice? Okay, that's in Nigeria, right?
Yes, absolutely. So multi-choice has received a demand in Nigeria for basically, you know, either not paying the tax properly. But the Nigerian tribunal has ordered multi-choice to pay 50% of the disputed $4.4 billion tax bill. Or 1.8 trillion naira. Now, I mean, that is a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money, especially for someone like MultiChoice, who might be struggling now thanks to all their competition and things like that. But it just goes to show how important working with the government is when you're operating a particular business. There's a crypto exchange recently that got heavily regulated in the UK for just not having a very well very established line of communication with the FCA that was kind of reviewing them and trying to deal with them and trying to make sure that they regulated. And that exchange was Binance, the world's biggest cryptocurrency exchange right now, and they've been heavily regulated. So no one is exempt from following regulation, and if you don't follow regulation, usually it becomes a money-making tool for government, you know, to either fulfill the desires of customers if they feel they've been ruined, or, you know, hunt for money. I mean, it happens. People need money, and if you're someone who's not taking, you know, not doing it properly, then you might just get a request to pay half of the money that you've never paid based on the calculation. So MultiChoice Nigeria is a division of a South African group which provides DSTV. The statement came after the FIRS said in July it had instructed banks to freeze the accounts of MultiChoice because the company had refused to grant access for the tax auditors to do its servers. So that is where the problem has arisen from. They said, no, you may not, you know, you may not audit us. And that's red flags right there, right off the bat. So they're facing heavy. I don't know if they're going to be able to pay it. I hope MultiChoice makes a lot of money, because it's $4.4 billion, not rand.
Shoo.
Dollars.
So otherwise they'll have to hike their subscriber prices or something to kind of make up for it somehow and put it up again.
This just said DSTV now costs 8,000 rand for the minimum subscription only for 1 month.
Oh my word, no. But listen, now that we're talking about DSTV, I've noticed a slight improvement in the content on Netflix. Maybe it's because I've been sick now and I had more time to actually search and go through it. But there seems to be a slight improvement in content on Netflix. Have you noticed or not?
Well, I like
How do you like?
I only like a few shows on Netflix, to be quite honest. You know, you got The Modern Family, which is great. You can watch it 5 times in a row.
Yeah.
You got Outer Banks, which is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Stranger Things, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had Altered Carbon, which was really good. You had that one detective show. What you have Lucifer. You had... The Holistic Detective, I think the Holistic Detective Agency or whatever that was called, that was really good. But outside of those, once you've watched it all, it becomes bland.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of hunting for something interesting. And sometimes you find something interesting. I must say, The Good Doctor is a great show.
Oh, yes, with Netflix. Freddie Highmore from Bates Motel. Absolutely brilliant. Whoa. He's
on
a brilliant
Rush
actor
as well.
Yeah, he's that guy is a brilliant actor, I tell you. He's so underrated. Definitely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. So I definitely from Netflix, I mean, yeah, from Netflix's perspective, they really have to provide a lot of content because people, it used to be that Netflix is the only solution that you need to watch a whole bunch of stuff. And COVID wasn't there. They had big money to develop these YouTube originals and movies and YouTube original Netflix original movies and Netflix original series. And now with all the restrictions that come into play, they almost braked or they paused for maybe 6 months to a year. Well, that's what it feels like. And now they might have started again a few months ago or a year ago, but it takes a while to develop a movie, you know?
Yeah.
So now we're seeing kind of it filtering back in. We just had that other movie that was released, The Meg. That was really good with Jason Statham or whatever his name is. That was a brilliant movie. So I'm hoping really good stuff comes down the line, but they definitely not out my radar of, you know, this is it's a bit bland to say the least.
Yes, well, Susan just said on the WhatsApp line she can hear me breathing. That's pretty pretty stalkerish, don't you think? Yeah, this microphone is so sensitive. Obviously, with the nose being blocked, that's probably why you can hear me breathing. Kane, would you wear...
Better to be breathing than not breathing.
Yeah, flip
it. I'd be worried if I couldn't hear you breathing.
Listen, would you ever wear a scented face mask, Kane?
No ways. Have you ever accidentally sprayed too much deodorant on yourself or around you and try to operate?
Yes.
You know, it can't be overpowering. I think I'd pass out.
But the funny thing is I just sprayed deodorant on my arm the other day, and well, yesterday, and I couldn't smell it. I still can't smell anything. I was sniffing deodorant, but nothing. It's all disconnected. That's the weirdest thing about this COVID. It just disconnects everything. And then every now and then you get like at 2 a.m. While you're busy sleeping, you get the taste of something you ate earlier. And then it just lasts for a few milliseconds. And then you're back. It's like your tongue and your nose. It's like it's all disconnected from your brain. It's the craziest thing.
Like smell.exe has stopped responding.
Exactly. Yes, that's a brilliant way to say it. I'm going to save that in my memory. In my bank, if it still works. Yes, you're so right, eh? It's like smell.exe and taste.exe stopped working, stopped responding. Please reboot the system.
Smell.dll is missing from this computer.
Oh, you're such a computer guy, I can hear it. But listen, scented face masks, there's actually a chicken scented face mask right now, eh?
A chicken?
Yes. It will feel like you're in a chicken store, like chicken licken or whatever. Would you wear it?
Well, here's the thing, you know, it's always nice until you're full.
Yeah.
You know, you might be hungry, but then you're full and you're just really not hungry anymore. It might be way overwhelming. But outside of that, it might be nice. I'd opt for like roses first. I think I would try something like that. Maybe, yeah. You know, something
a little fruity
bit more.
One. Yeah, a fruity one. I don't want to smell chicken all day. If my
like
smell returns.
Or, you know,
yeah. And then there's one called pumpkin spice. That looks like a really nice one. But it appears to be a market for it now. But anyway, we asked on our Facebook page and for our WhatsApp results, asking, would you wear a scented face mask? Yes or no? And the results so far, 98% saying no and 2% saying yes. But that's a chicken one. Maybe they'll wear something else.
That's maximalist.
I would go for a strawberry or something if I had to pick one. Or maybe a fresh lemon, you know? A lemon scent.
I just don't know if it would sit well with me having chicken in my peripheral all day, every day. Going to work, chicken. You know, come home, chicken. Have a shower, quickly pop into the shops, chicken. You know? Might become vegan after that.
Yes. That's strange. But yeah, I can't believe it. I thought it was a joke at first, but it's a thing right now. Scented face masks, sir. What a time to be alive, eh?
Oh, that is so funny. Speaking of time to be alive, this is now the time that we might be getting a high-speed rail between Joburg, Pretoria, and Durban. That is actually something that's definitely not around. You know, if you've got to fly I mean, I think George to Cape Town is one of the most expensive flights according to distance in the world.
Yeah.
You know, you're paying the most amount of money to travel a very short distance. Even, you know, Cape Town to Durban or George to Durban might be expensive. George to Joburg is pretty cheap. Mm. And I imagine inter-town transport is relatively relatively affordable from public transport like the Gau train and things like that. But we definitely don't have a way to go relatively cheap from A to B without lifting off of the ground, you know?
Yeah.
And having a high-speed railway is something that South Africa never has. I mean, here in Knysna, we have the infrastructure for a railway, a very mundane railway, I might add. I mean, it'll take you from A to B over a long time. But it's not a high-speed railway, and it's been since decommissioned.
Mm.
So it hasn't been a priority up until now. But the reason it's becoming so much of a priority is because, well, let's go into it. The government is conducting a feasibility study to introduce a high-speed rail development between Pretoria, Johannesburg, and Durban, says Transport Minister. Presenting to Parliament's Select Committee on Transport on Wednesday, 25 August, Mabula said that the planned development will carry passengers as well as freight. He said the government is also looking to overhaul its freight by rail's plans and is working on an updated rail policy for the country, currently being developed as a white paper. Mabula warned that the recent unrest seen in parts of KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng will cause long-term damage to the country's cargo and freight industry. The closure of the N3, for example, had a significant impact on traffic volumes that rely on the highway, and the major route typically has traffic in excess of 6,000 heavy vehicles per day.
Mm.
The four-day closure of the N3 meant 12 billion rands worth of goods did not arrive at their intended destinations. So the problem is, you know, cargo owners are also looking at transporting their cargo through Namibia, Angola, Mozambique, and further north. And if this trend continues, South Africa is at a risk of losing its gateway status for transit freight. So because of the strikes and the riots and, you know, cargo being stolen, stock being stolen, roads being shut down, we've lost a lot of confidence in taking cargo through South Africa, because at the end of the day, it's a business calculation, right? Least risk, highest reward is the ultimate goal every single time. And if it becomes more risky and less rewarding to go through South Africa, we're going to be in a problem.
Mm.
So this is an attempt to kind of protect ourselves from potentially losing a lot of that transit status. And it would be really interesting to see it, because it's part of the government's infrastructure plans for the next 30 years. And, you know, it's developments up until 2050. So this could happen soon. It could happen in a long time. But it would definitely be nice to be able to order something from like Johannesburg, have it not have to travel by air and still arrive at your door, you know, within the next working day and things like that. That's the kind of benefits we might experience from it.
Mm.
So it'll be very interesting to see what happens. It's by no means a cheap thing to do, but definitely something that might benefit our economy in the coming years.
And then, Kane, you are quite a Huawei fan, right? Are you still one?
Yes, I was, and then I switched back to Samsung for the S21 Ultra camera. But for a long time, for 4 years, I was using a Huawei, and I was really happy with it up until the whole Android issue that happened.
Mm, yeah,
and
that wasn't cool.
You know, you had the app gallery that came out of there that it was very difficult to install certain apps and to do cross phone kind of operations and things. But I know that Huawei released that new operating system.
And today, on the 26th of August, they are releasing two awesome new smartphones to the local market here in South Africa. It's the Nova 8 and the Nova Y60 smartphones. They've got pretty good prices, also great displays, powerful camera systems, and large batteries. Very stylish. I just saw two pictures of these phones. So they are going on the market today, the 26th of August. My broadband said
Nova 8, eh?
Yes, my broadband said they will publish the prices today. So that's still
I see some prices here. Huawei Nova 8 Pro 5G on bid or buy for 16,000.
Whoa.
Yeah, then we have the Nova 8 SE Vitality going at 9,000. And
the Y60?
Yeah, it looks...
Nova Y60? Got that one somewhere?
The Y60.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what this price is looking like.
Nova Y60, yeah.
I don't think the Y60 has been released yet. At least I don't see anything about it.
It just happened a couple of hours ago, or it's actually happening right now, I think. But the Y60's got a triple camera lens. I love it.
I have a four cameras set up on my Samsung. It's actually five cameras with a little infrared one flash, making it the sixth module. But it makes a big difference, eh? I must say. I filmed the music video for a friend of mine the other day, straight from the phone at 8K.
Sure.
And I was being mind blown for a month and a half through the editing process about how the quality, good this camera quality was. Yeah.
It is insane, eh? It's insane. Who needs an actual TV camera in 2021?
I was doing a lot more of the YouTube stuff, I actually had a Canon DSLR camera that I paid like, I think it was about 9 or 10,000 for. And I really thought at that time, wow, this is it. You know, this is 24 megapixels. This is amazing. And, you know, 5-10 years later, looking at my Samsung now, being able to capture pictures at 108 megapixels at four times the resolution without even a lens is... It's uncomparable. I mean, that shows you how far cell phones have come, truly.
Exactly. Kane, what have you got for us next?
Next, we have a very interesting part of South Africa's space advancements, a new company launching in South Africa for space commerce and items such as that. So Swedish space company AAC Clyde Space has opened offices in South Africa through a subsidiary, AAC Space Africa. They will design, build, and deliver space missions to the continent from its Cape Town base in the Western Cape. The new subsidiary will also be the group's center of competence for advanced radio communication. Dr. Robert Van Sale will lead the company as managing director and Francis Fisser as technical director. The two have over 40 years of small satellite experience. So I wonder if they will be going to space like Jeff Bezos in the near coming future. I saw Jeff Bezos actually, there's a toy that's being released now, or a model of the aircraft which he released, of the rocket that he went into space in. And when you look at it quite small, it's not actually that good looking. You know, you think it would be very like Lamborghini, you know, kind of style, but it's just very like city golf in my opinion.
I saw a couple of memes about that. I won't say what they said it looks like.
I was also thinking the same thing, you know, do your own research, check that one out. The team will initially focus on radio communication systems as well as sales and marketing. However, AAC said that the team is expected to grow quickly in the coming year to meet demand from the African space economy, which is set to grow up to $10 billion by 2024. The need for space services in Africa is growing rapidly as the government, companies, and communities seek efficient ways to support development and build out critical infrastructure, said Chief Executive Lewis Gnomes. So it's very interesting. It's very exciting. I'm sure this opens up an avenue which a lot of young entrepreneurs who are wanting to get into space and space engineering and even taking a role as a potential astronaut and things like that is like very difficult for a South African to envision. But now right here in the Western Cape, in Cape Town, there's someone who's growing towards that status. And it'll be very interesting to see if we one day have a South African astronaut go into space driven by a South African engineering, right? Wouldn't that be exciting?
Yeah.
I mean, Elon Musk is South African.
Exactly.
But he's not in South Africa anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, with him left that opportunity.
Yeah, we'll get some more big stars coming from this country, I'm pretty sure. But listen, and now we're talking about stars. I don't know if you saw earlier this week, there was something observed in the night sky in Pretoria, Polokwane, that area. They saw something and they thought, hey, look, it's a meteor shower or something like that. Well, it's now been confirmed by the Astronomical Society of South Africa, ASSA, that the phenomenon was actually the upper stage of a Chinese rocket burning up in the atmosphere. But it was quite... it was cool. I don't know what's going on with the Chinese. They keep sending us stuff that we don't want.
But we didn't even order it off of Alibaba, you know.
Yes. So, but yeah, they keep sending us stuff. But anyway, it was nice and bright, beautiful. Actually, I saw a couple of videos of it. It was quite a phenomenal display, and people were just puzzled and fascinated at the same time, saying, "Hey, you know what's going on here?" But no, it looks like it was the Zhuangzheng 1S designated YZ1S rocket. The re-entry of the upper stage of the Zhuangzheng.
The Huawei Zhuangzheng. Imagine that. Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah.
Speaking of stuff crashing and burning, looters in South Africa are having a problem now because of obviously having their television functionality blocked. Samsung's Carter Ridge distribution center was raided during the unrest, but all of the stolen televisions were equipped with a television block function.
Brilliant.
The company said that means televisions can be disabled remotely.
Mm.
Samsung activated the TV block function on all of its TVs stolen on 11 July. Now, that is just, it's brilliant, because those people that stole those TVs, you know, they were really opportunistic. They're the reason freight companies and stuff are a bit nervous about coming through South Africa right now.
Mm-hmm.
I had international clients asking me if I'm okay, even though I was more than okay. That's the degree to which they were worried about the situation.
Sure.
It made global headlines. And now they're not able to use their TV, which is great. But it begs the question, this is functionality that was developed prior to the TVs being stolen. So is my Samsung TV in my lounge just going to one day just be turned off? Sorry, bro, you're not paid your TV license. You're out of luck. You know, good luck watching Netflix now.
Yeah, I wonder. You know? I wonder if it's like a, you know, like the principle of a cell phone that's blacklisted, where every cell phone's got a unique number, and then they just go, you know, block, and then the phone is completely useless. I suppose that's how it works with the TVs as well. So when you go to somebody now and it says this TV has been stolen, I mean, imagine, like you said, they switch it on and it's going to tell you all about their criminal past.
So just put your hands in the air. I bought it from Gumtree. That's how I got it. Just before you jumped into conclusions.
Oh, my word. Yes, from Gumtree.
Yeah. But I imagine it must be connected to the internet to do that, because if it doesn't have to be connected to the internet in order to be blocked, that's a big problem. You're going to see people not just nervous there about having Wi-Fi in their house.
There must be some connection to it, right? But those are smart TVs, right? So obviously at some stage they must get connected to the internet, and that's when they go pow.
I'm just glad they didn't announce, don't worry, we've got tracking functionality in there. We can trace them directly to their source.
We'll come and collect it.
I put my TV at night. Yeah. That's where I'd get really nervous. Start looking over your shoulder, check if your TV's flashing, turn it off by the wall kind of thing.
No, but seriously, what is showing on their screens now that they can't use the TV? Does it actually say this TV has been stolen? Or is it just black?
I honestly don't know. I don't know what it will look like. I wonder if it just starts sizzling. You know, you just smell like chicken and you're like, uh-oh.
No, man, that's your mask. That's your mask. It's not the TV.
So I hope no one who stole those TVs are able to use them. It would just make me feel better.
So now you can't even watch the menu of KFC where you took it from. They're just going to completely disable it.
I wonder if it's only Samsung TVs. That's also a very interesting question.
Exactly.
If it's also LG and all the other
Good question. And now, Kane, what is the story about Elon Musk's Tesla bot being a joke? Is it not real?
So that's the thing, right? You obviously saw it going through the news and stuff, and I saw it and I was like, oh my word, you know, there's actually a robot version for Tesla's robot, and I was very nervous and things like that. But there was an announcement that Elon Musk was working on a Tesla robot. And the thing is, I don't know if it was, it's hard to say whether it was an inside joke or whatever, but the day after he made that announcement, he had a distraction, an empty kind of promise joke style thing where he had a person dressed up like the Tesla bot go onto stage and kind of dance a little bit, you know. That's how he made his announcement that the Tesla bot is coming. But something that he said was people are actually very far away from a working robot, you know, that can do things and interact and react and, you know, consolidate information and react to it just like humans are. You know, you see a ball flying at your head, you know to duck. Or if you're faced with a problem, like you notice that your one stair's broken, you don't just go run straight into it and, you know, fall over yourself kind of thing. Like there's a lot of stuff happening in your head which helps you do the things that you need to do. That's a little bit difficult to program into a robot. What makes me nervous about self-driving cars and things like that, you know, that you might be able to put sensors on the front that see if someone's in front of you. You might be able to put sensors on the side that tell you if you're going to hit into anything. But at the end of the day, if one of those sensors aren't working or miscommunicating or misfiring, you know, there's no human input. It's just going to go straight, even though it thinks, you know, it's straight, but it's a corner. It's just going to go straight. It's not going to slow down. It's not going to brake last minute. It's just going to go straight. So it's very interesting to see how they're actually going to go about it. But they did say Musk revealed drawings of the robot near the tail end of his company's AI Day event, where it showed some of the artificial intelligence and supercomputer technologies that it's working on with the goal of one day powering self-driving cars. The company also had a mannequin version on the stage, which wasn't working. But I think it makes people nervous, you know, because Elon Musk was this guy that came out and shouted how dangerous AI is and how dangerous it is to have, you know, robots that can basically be controlled by an AI if for any reason something is going toward. So I'm very interested to see what's going on. But it became a big joke, you know, because he had a dense presentation about the undeniably impressive work Tesla is doing with AI. The company self-anointed tech knocking Elon Musk capped the evening by bringing out a dancer in a spandex suit, and he called it his Tesla bot.
Okay, well, that guy's always full of surprises.
I really wanted it to be real. I wanted it to be same. Really real.
But tell me now about now we're talking about robots. This new cashless and queueless store in Checkers, is it actually a robot helping you, or is it just a computer system? How does it work, and where can we see it? Which stores?
Right. So Checkers is testing a new cashless and queueless store in South Africa. The ShopRite Group is turning to data science and technology to improve its stores, with the retailer currently testing several new concepts through a program called ShopRite X. At the ShopRite X offices above the new Checkers Hyper Brackenfell flagship store next to the group's home office, the division's 250-strong team, including data science, e-commerce, and personalization experts, is working side-by-side with ShopRite's IT team, combined with a team of over 1,000 people, to create and implement these new innovations. This is what the group said. ShopRite X was directly responsible for the extra savings reward program and Checkers 60-60 on-demand grocery delivery service, which I think some of us have even used up until now.
Yeah.
And it works.
It works. It really 60, I can vouch for it.
Minutes.
Yep.
Right.
Totally works.
And one of the new concepts currently being trialed is Checkers Rush, an automated, cashless, no queues, no checkout, no waiting concept store located at the ShopRite X offices in Brackenfell. Checkers Rush allows employees to grab products and walk out without paying at a till. The group said that this is possible using advanced AI camera technology to identify the products being taken off the shelves.
Okay.
Checkers Rush then bills the users' bank cards upon exit.
Oh, oops.
That's scary.
That's a bit scary.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That's a bit scary.
It feels like you're not in control anymore. What if you want a refund?
Can't I rather just put it all in a basket and just place it on something and it goes ding?
Yeah.
And it knows everything there?
Yeah, now they just look I don't feel very comfortable with that. I don't even feel comfortable with
nervous.
I don't even feel comfortable with the tap and go in the store with your car. So how am I going to... This camera thing, I don't know.
They say, we are serious about being Africa's most customer-centric retailer, and the launch of ShopRite X represents our investment in fit for the future precision retail, which is increasingly digital and data-led, said Peter Engelbrecht, ShopRite Group Executive Chief Officer. The next era of growth for us is about precision retailing. ShopRite X will use our rich customer data to supercharge a smarter ShopRite and ultimately fuse the best of digital with our operational strength across the continent. This sounds very like they're about to ask for funding kind of thing. To be totally honest with you, it's very sully. Very, very sully. It doesn't seem like an announcement. It kind of seems like a pitch directly to investors. Neil Schrauder, Chief of Strategy and Innovation, said that the ShopRite X provides an opportunity for the retailer to move towards a more startup-like environment. ShopRite to the power of X represents the exponential growth opportunity when you combine the best of data, tech, and talent with the scale of the ShopRite group. Someone said, don't call yourself ShopRite X because SpaceX has already got that. And they're like, no, we just need a backstory and we're fine. We can do that.
ShopRite X, yo, whoa. This is incredible, eh? Yo.
The world is changing. I mean, it makes me a little bit nervous. I mean, how can that be exploited? I'm going to end up, you know, at least when I go up, and this is just personal opinion, you know, when I walk up to the teller, I see her ring each individual item up. Sometimes she might even ring one twice by mistake, and I'll say, hey, you know, I think there's been a mistake here. But at least I know that what I'm paying for the bill should be accurate because I watched it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're kind of walking in, grabbing a couple things off of a shelf, walking, paying, getting to your car, getting home, and being like, sure, how much did I buy? What came up to this amount of money?
Yeah, there's bound to be some errors, eh? I'm 100% sure. I hope they've got a good refund system in place.
Like, I didn't buy 50 Maynard suites. How did that happen?
Well, we've got you on camera doing it. You did it.
Smart AI's got you, you know?
Sure, yeah. Good point there, Kane. But we'll have to see about that, actually. See what happens if it's going to be rolled out in all the stores, and maybe just in the major cities. I don't know.
Absolutely. And also, in a world first, to kind of top off the day, South Africa has granted a patent to an artificial intelligence system, which is pretty crazy. South Africa's decision has received widespread backlash from intellectual property experts. Some have labeled it as a mistake or an oversight by the patent office. At first glance, a recently granted South African patent reading to a food container based on fractal geometry seems fairly mundane. The innovation in question involves interlocking food containers that are easy for robots to grasp and stack. One close inspection, the patent is anything but mundane. That's because the inventor is not a human being. It's an artificial intelligence system called DABUS, which stands for Device for the Autonomous Bootstrapping of Unified Science. I think that's what it says. Is an AI system created by Stefan Thaler, a pioneer in the field of AI and programming. The system stimulates human brainstorming and creates new inventions. Davis is a particular type of AI, often referred to as creativity machines, because they are capable of independent and complex functioning. This differs from everyday AI like Siri, the voice of Apple's iPhone. So an AI went and registered a patent for a food container based stacking kind of container that can allow interlocking, and it's easy for robots to grasp and stack. And it was approved. South Africa approved it. And it's the first ever patent approved by someone who isn't human who wrote the patent.
Wow.
And is probably submitting a lot more patents. I'm a little bit nervous, to tell you the truth. That's a bit dodgy, you know.
I'm a bit nervous after today's show.
Come up with ideas.
I think it's safe to say that the robots are taking over.
Thanks to people like Elon Musk and this creator.
Yep.
I'm lost for words.
They're taking over now. They're driving us around and they're ringing up our shopping and all that kind of stuff. Registering patents. Anyway, very interesting. Thanks, Kane. Lastly, I see Facebook is finally developing a WhatsApp app for tablets. It's part of its new multi-device support capabilities. Up until now, if you wanted Facebook on your tablet, you had to get one of the WhatsApp versions on tablets through the WhatsApp web platform. That was the only way. Or you can also install a WhatsApp APK from sources.
Oh, you mean get WhatsApp on your tablet?
Google Play Store. Yeah, now you can finally, they're working on it. WhatsApp is coming to iPad soon. I thought that was possible already. What's taking them so long to roll that out?
It's only three types of devices.
Yeah.
Mobile phone, desktop, and tablet.
Yes.
Desktop can be laptop as well. Those are the three tiers, and they've only been facilitating two of them. Why?
Yeah, exactly. What took them so long? So that's coming soon. They're working on it, according to a website called WA Beta Info. And they didn't state when support for Android tablets would arrive on the WhatsApp beta for Android, but they also posted a couple of screenshots on My Broadband if you want to go and look at it. Finally getting a decent WhatsApp version for iPad. Wow, what a week of developments for technology, hey Kane? I just, can you imagine what we're going to have next week?
No, it's at this rate, next week we're going to be talking about like robot cars and things like that, Transformers, you know.
Yeah, or a president that's a robot that's running the country.
The latest political member to join, you know,
is a robot, yeah.
DA.
Oh, there's a lot we can say about that, but I actually don't want to. But Kane, thank you as always. It was nice catching up with you again, and we'll talk to you again next week. As always, thank you so much for your input.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you're feeling better and recovering from COVID strong.
Yes, man. Kick its butt. That's what we do. That's what we do. It ain't gonna kick my butt. I'm gonna kick its butt. That's the way
we do
it.
That's the mentality needed, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me this week, Ian. I'm looking forward to next week and kicking it back off. Hopefully, we'll be in studio, but we'll see how it goes. And
yeah.
Thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in and dropping in and saying hello.
Like a man. And you have a wonderful rest of your Thursday. Brace yourself. I see it's going to get really cold again as from tomorrow. Have a good weekend as well. And we'll talk to you next week, Kane. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Ian. Have a good one.
You bye-bye. Too, man. Cheers.